Now, here's some good sort of organic news, more or less. Depends on which side of the fence you're on. Lumber's price gains for the year are really already wiped out as demand has really eased for the lumber. Lumber, which at one point was among the world's best performing commodities, as the pandemic sent kind of construction demand soaring and stoked fears of real inflation, has officially wiped out all of its staggering gains for the year. If you were speculating what lumber was going to be worth, prices at Monday's close were down almost 1% for the year as demand eases and supply expands in response to earlier gains. The rally turned a common building product into a social media sensation and a kind of a flashpoint in the debate over U.S. monetary policy. At one point, lumber futures were trading as high as, listen to this, $1,735 per 1,000 board feet, more than four times the level of exactly a year ago. Lumber's drop is among the most dramatic examples of the easing in commodity prices after rallies in raw materials earlier this year fueled concern that rising costs would super undercut the economy as it tries to recover here in the United States. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell last month cited lumber's decline as evidence that price pressures are going to cool off, folks, as supply bottlenecks from the reopening economy are worked out and the stimulus for the need actually fades. The sheer expense has taken many, many people out of the market. This is according to a guy named James Greenowell, investment and commodities futures advisor for a big brokerage firm called PI Financial. Lumber for September delivery, that's not far away now, fell over 6%, a little less than 6% Monday from, as I mentioned to you, $1,733 per 1,000 feet down to $712 per 1,000 board feet on the exchange market. Prices have declined on rising inventory levels and a significant drop, is what they said, in lumber demand, especially the large retail stores, where do-it-yourself home renovators typically make most of their purchases. This is from a company called Westline Capital Strategies. Their chief executive officer, a guy named Greg Kuta, whose Ohio-based firm specializes in lumber trading strategies, confirmed. He said lower renovations have made more wood available for home builders to buy, which has helped to pressure the prices down lower. The market has even shrugged off more than 300 wildfires recently and rail car gridlock in the majority production region, not just in our country, but even up in British Columbia. Still, the current price levels historically still are high. Since the 1990s, lumber futures have mostly traded between, believe it or not, just $200 to $400 per 1,000 board feet. So we'll almost double that. With the exception of the year of 2018 when it shot up to about $600, mostly because of fires all around the North American continent. This massive corrective freefall indicates that the market is resetting to reflect supply-demand expectations. Historically high prices for lumber kind of threatens to keep housing costs high, at least here in North America, and maybe for the near foreseeable future. Lumber prices are undergoing a paradigm shift, and are in the process of determining a new and much higher average price level overall as a result. Unfortunately, as far as I can see it, and I'm certainly not a soothsayer of the future, okay? But I think lumber future prices are going to continue to see severe, I call it up and down volatility. Going more extreme prices right now, it looks like it'll go down. It appears then, especially by there's another fall building season, we may go as high as $550 up to even over $1,000, maybe through the year, this year of 2021. From everything I can actually find, it appears at some point, especially in the fall, Lumber is going to be about right where it is now. It may go down for a while if you're ready to buy some. It's going to end up about $700 to $800 per thousand board foot by the end of the year, according to all the futures that I can find. It's very And the other one is, we don't even know, what is this fire season going to do? Fires have a lot to do with it, folks. As a likely upside catalyst, it's actually going to probably increase, even if it doesn't do it as much as you think. They use it as an excuse to do it, okay? EPA Forest Products Research said, as of their study in June 30th, that it's probably going to definitely cause the price of board feet of lumber to increase again by late fall. And finally, from the last thing I can find, even into 2022, the spring prices may pretty much settle at whatever the late year 2021 prices end up at. Noting that the new home construction demand is still, even in spite of the price, is still going up, folks. Quote, unquote, we still expect prices will be higher than long-term averages going forward, at least for the near future. So if you need lumber, get it pretty quick. It is going to go down, it looks like, short-term. Long-term, it's going to climb back to about where it is right now, about $712 a thousand board feet or so. Not a real cheap way to build anymore.
I've talked before about fracking a few times. Had friends, as a matter of fact, out in the Fort Davis area that actually had to leave their home, move to another part of our state, because they happened to be really sensitive to some of the chemistry they used to frack, and it was literally running them out of their house. For much of the past decade already, folks, oil companies engaged in drilling and fracking, but they've been allowed to pump into the ground chemicals that over time break down into toxic substances known as PFAS, a class of long-lasting compounds known to pose a threat to people and wildlife. And this is according to an internal document that got released from the Environmental Protection Agency. Back in about 2011, the EPA approved the use of these chemicals. They're used to ease the flow of oil from the ground, despite the agency's grave concerns about their toxicity. This is according to those same documents, which were reviewed by the New York Times. The EPA's approval of the three chemicals wasn't previously publicly known. The records obtained under the Freedom of Information Act by a nonprofit group, incidentally, Physicians for Social Responsibility, are among the first public indications that PFAS, long-lasting compounds, also known as forever chemicals, they just really don't want to break down, folks, may be present in the fluids used during the drilling, hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. And a consent order issued for the three chemicals back in October of 2011, it's been that far back, EPA scientists pointed to preliminary evidence that under conditions that are these chemistry are used, the chemicals could degrade in the environment into substances akin to PFOA, a kind of PFAS chemical, and could persist in the environment. Now, I'm going to throw this from me aside. Folks, we've already been putting up with PFOAs. The Teflon company had to quit using them, and we still give them like 10 years. But that was one of the gases that was off-gassed if you overheated a Teflon skillet. On my little personal side, being a animal nut, bird nerd, I had a friend kill every parrot and every bird in his house in less than 5 minutes by leaving a Teflon skillet to overheat on the stove while he answered the telephone. Every one of them either was dead by the time he got to them or had to be put to sleep because it completely ruined their nervous system. So it's pretty dangerous. Even at relatively low portions in the air, it doesn't take very much. But to get back to the documents, it was shown in these documents that there was proof that when this stuff gets in the environment, it's toxic to people, wild mammals, and birds. The EPA scientists recommended additional testing. These tests were not mandatory then, and there is no indication that they were ever actually carried out. More documents obtained by the Freedom of Information Act shows these chemistries were freely used with no forethought to tell anybody, and about 1,000 wells between the years of 2012 and just 2020, mostly in Texas, but in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and even Wyoming. Because not all states require companies to even report chemicals to the database, the number of wells is probably much higher than we realize. The Biden administration kind of really jumped on top of this when they found out about it, okay? They made addressing PFAS a top priority. For example, by proposing a rule to require all manufacturers and importers of PFAS all the way back to 2011 to disclose more information on the chemicals, including their use in the environment and the known health effects. A class of man-made chemicals like this that are toxic even in minuscule concentrations is not a surprise. We've known about it for decades. PFAS were used to make products I mentioned earlier, like nonstick pans, stain-resistant carpeting, and even firefighting foam. So sort of the good news, bad news to wrap this thing up, okay? The bad news is it's still there, and they haven't done much to clean it up. It's known right now have to be found in about 80,000 wells in various parts of the country where it was used. These are public, I mean, people's wells, folks. The good news part of it is that it has been or is being totally phased out, but they're not given. DuPont was sued millions of dollars for this back when they were found releasing it into a river right there in Parkersburg, West Virginia. They paid a huge fine, then finally committed to cease the making of at least most PFASs and PFOA chemistries. But nothing has been said or nothing's been promoted to go and clean up the messes they left in Texas and the other states. And of course, nothing's really been said so far about what they're going to do about the possible number of as many as 80 million Americans being affected by this stuff getting into their drinking systems. So I hate to do bad news all the time, but I've known about this stuff. I was super against the Teflon thing from the day I learned about it. And they still gave them a decade to quit making Teflon that just if overheated could literally kill animals in the house and is very unhealthy for you. It accumulates in your body, folks. It's not good chemistry to have around. So probably another one of my too much information, TMIs, but I thought we people ought to be aware of it. Thank goodness it is out of all the new nonsticks available that I know of. But if you've got old Teflon you want to worry about, and you sometimes people use stainless steel and things on the Teflon and it scratches it, and it seems ingesting, it's not as dangerous as if it gets overheated and you breathe it.